Our scripture reading for tonight comes from Mark chapter 4. So if you want to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Mark chapter 4, we're going to be reading verses 10 through 25. Mark chapter 4, verses 10 through 25. Hear now the word of God. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the one who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the power it has to bring forth fruit in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to receive it, that it might be planted deep in us, and that it might bring forth fruit to the glory of your name. And we know this comes about through the work of your Spirit, and so we ask that your Spirit would be at work through your word even now. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our sermon tonight is focusing on Jesus' parables in verses 21 through 25. And you don't have an outline in your bulletin, but let me give you a quick outline if you're taking notes or if you want a mental map to know where we're going. We're going to look first at verses 21 through 23. And there we're going to see that Jesus has come to bring light to people in darkness. And then we're going to look at verses 24 through 25. And we're going to see that how you hear the word is critical. How you hear the word. So Jesus begins this parable in verse 21 by asking his disciples a question. Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? The obvious answer to this, of course, is, well, no, right? Of course, if a light is brought in, you don't hide it. right? Maybe some of you young children, if your parents, put you in bed at night and they turn on a nightlight, right? They don't put a sock over the nightlight, right? Because the point of the light is to, of the nightlight is to give you light, is to help you to see. Now, a lamp, the image of a lamp and the image of a light is one that we see throughout the Old Testament. And the disciples and the people listening to Jesus would have been very familiar with this image. The lamp is used constantly in the Old Testament scriptures to refer to the Word of God. Psalm 119, right? Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Peter as well picks up on this in his letter, his second letter, when he says, we have the word more sure, right, in the scriptures, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. Lamp, right, is the word of God. We see it elsewhere in Psalm 119, verse 130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. So, lamp and light, right? The word of God is a lamp, and it brings light. But we read in Hebrews that in times past, God spoke his word through the prophets. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. So Jesus is the ultimate lamp, the one who's come to bring light. And he came, not only did he come to teach the Word of God, but he himself, as John tells us, is the Word made flesh. That's why John says Jesus is the light of the world. And so in this parable, Jesus is saying, I am the lamp who has come into the world to bring light. And my purpose is not that you would be kept in darkness, but that you would receive light. Now, Jesus had been speaking in parables to his disciples. And throughout this chapter, we see here, right, that he's speaking to the crowds in parables. And in fact, the disciples come to him, we saw at the beginning of the passage we read tonight, that when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. That Jesus, we don't understand. What do these mean? They may have been thinking, okay, Jesus, you're teaching in parables, but why are you teaching in these enigmatic parables that we don't understand? You're keeping us in the dark, so to speak. And what Jesus is saying is that my purpose is not to keep you in the dark, but it's to bring you light. Now, if Jesus is trying to bring light so that people might see, they might understand, then why does he speak in parables? And this, he explains this to the disciples. Again, in verse 11, he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. You see, the word, the truth, the understanding that Jesus came to bring was being hidden from those Jews whose hearts had been hardened against God and who had rejected him. And primarily, these were Jewish leaders. They were the greatest offenders. We saw last week the scribes accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Satan. These are scribes. These are people whose life study was the Old Testament scriptures. They were the ones who should have rejoiced, like Abraham, to see the day of Jesus, to see the Word made flesh, to see the Son of God. And yet their hearts were hardened against God. And so God was showing his judgment by hiding his truth to them in parables. But notice that these parables were not hidden to everyone. See, although Jesus was hiding the truth, so to speak, in these parables, his purpose was not that they would remain hidden in the parables. And this is what Jesus is saying in verse 22. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. When something is hidden, God hides something. His ultimate purpose is not that it would remain hidden, but that it would be unfolded. Now, when you wrap a gift, right, in wrapping paper, your point is not that the gift would remain hidden and never be seen, right? You wrap it very precisely for the purpose that it would be unwrapped, unfolded, and seen. And notice that these parables are unfolded to the disciples. Right? We saw that in verse 10, or verse 11, and following. Jesus says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to explain the parable of the sower. And look at verse 33 and 34. We're told that with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Now, as you're reading through this passage, you should notice that when he's speaking the parables, he's speaking in parables, we're always told that he's speaking to the crowds in parables. But who is it that Jesus gives the explanation to? He gives explanation to the disciples and those with the disciples, those near him. What was the difference between the crowds and the disciples? Well, the crowds were those who were there to hear Jesus, either because, like the scribes and the Pharisees, they were looking for some way to trap him because they were opposed to him, or perhaps because they were mildly intrigued. Hey, they've heard this guy has worked some pretty amazing wonders, and they're kind of interested in maybe seeing a cool sign. Jesus performed some kind of miracle. But when Jesus, right, when Jesus departs, who is it that follows him? It's the disciples. The disciples were ones who followed Jesus intently because, like Peter, they believed that Jesus was the one who had the words of life. Do you remember when Peter, when the crowds leave Jesus because of his hard sayings in John 5, and Jesus says, are you going to turn also? Are you going to leave with the crowds? And Peter says, Lord, to whom else can we go? You alone have the words of life. So the disciples, they're pursuing, they're following Jesus because they trust him. They believe that he is the one that can give them life through his words. And so here Jesus is saying that his parables may be hiding the truth, are hiding the truth in a sense, but they are meant to be uncovered. And to those who follow Jesus because they trust him, they believe that he has the words of life, to them the truth is uncovered and it's made clear. And this is a call to seek Jesus. Right? Not just as a curious attender, a curious spectator, but as one with faith, believing that he has the words of life. And this is both instructive for us, and it's an encouragement to us. It's an encouragement. Do you ever feel like that you don't understand the scriptures? Perhaps you're reading the time in your devotions, or you're hearing something, and you think, I'm missing something. I'm not sure what is the Lord getting? What is the word getting at? What is the Lord saying? And sometimes there can be a temptation to give up because it's hard. This summer, I was talking with a group of high school seniors at French Creek, where I was helping to do some counseling, and And one evening we were talking about reading the scriptures. There was one of the speakers there was speaking on the theme of reading the word. And we were talking about what are the things that that prove to be the greatest hindrances in reading and feeding on the word. And a number of them said that it was not being able to understand what they're reading. And they were remarking, you know, I can pick up a bestseller novel and I'm hooked because I can understand it right away. But understanding the scriptures, it takes time. Sometimes you have to learn, you know, the context of a passage. You've got to read through a book and understand the flow of the thought. And it takes time. It takes diligence. But as you apply yourself to the word, Jesus is promising here that he will uncover that word to you. The Lord doesn't want to keep you in the dark as to his word. But he's come to give you understanding, to give you to enlighten your eyes through it. So persevere. Pray as well as you read. You can pray this marvelous prayer of David in Psalm 119. He says, "Open my eyes to behold wonderful things in your word." You ever pray that before you begin reading? "Lord, open my eyes to behold the wonderful things in your word." And God will do that. Now, Jesus is intending to make his teaching, the truths of the gospel, the truths of the kingdom of God, plain to everyone. Right? He says, my intention is not to keep this hidden. And there's a time when all of these truths will not be spoken in parables, but they will be preached in plain language to everyone. But as the parable of the sower has showed us, that having the word sown in your heart, having understanding, hearing the word explained in clear language, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to bring fruit. In the parable, there are the four kinds of people represented by the four kinds of soil. All heard the word, but only one kind bore the fruit. And what was the difference? Well, the difference was in how they heard the word. And this is what Jesus is getting at in verses 24 through 25. How you hear the word makes all the difference. In verse 24, he begins, "Pay attention to what you hear." Pay attention to what you hear. So the first thing, right, that we need to do to become to be good hearers of the word, fruitful hearers, is to pay attention to it. The word in Greek there just literally means behold, right? Look, gaze. When something holds your attention, actually that word comes from a Latin word which means to hold to. When something has your attention, your gaze is fixed on it, and you're taking it in. So Jesus is saying, when you hear the word, pay attention to it. Keep your gaze on it. Behold it. And let it sink in to your heart. And then he continues, "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So first, we have to pay attention to it, keep our gaze on it. But secondly, we need to measure it out in fullness. Now, in the parable, the sower, Jesus tells us that the good soil represented the hearers who received the word into their heart because they paid attention to it. And he says, and they bore fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. It's kind of interesting. Jesus says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Well, what makes the difference between 30, 60, and 100? And this is what Jesus is explaining here. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Again, if you look at the Greek there, it literally says the measure with which you measure it out will be measured to you. The measure with which you measure it out. You know, think about, you're sitting down at Thanksgiving dinner, and your favorite green bean casserole comes around, right? And you want to enjoy this. And so you measure out not just a little spoonful, but right, three or four big spoonfuls so that you can take it all in, right? And savor and enjoy not just a little bit, but a lot of that casserole. Well, Jesus is saying, the more you measure out God's word, right, to take it into your heart, the more fruit you will see coming out, the more fruit you will see in your life. Measure it out. And how do we measure out the word of God? Well, by reading it, by meditating on it, spending time to chew on it, by hearing the word. That's one of the reasons it's so important to meet with the Lord's people every week, so we can hear the preaching of the word. And not just to sit in the pew and let the words go in one ear and out the other, but to take it in, right? To gaze on it, to behold it. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. But notice what Jesus goes on to say. This is such a beautiful thing. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. So as you take in the word, right, the return is exponential. It's like investing in a high return stock. As you put in $1,000, and what you get back over time is more than double, right? Maybe triple, quadruple. And so Jesus is encouraging his disciples here, and he's encouraging you tonight. The more you measure out, the more will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. The more you take it in, the more God will produce that fruit, right, exponentially, and the more understanding that he will give to you. Well, then he ends this parable with a warning. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. To the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. You see, if the word is not received into the heart, right, then you will end up with nothing, which is kind of a sobering verse. This can be a danger, right? If you come to church every Sunday and you hear the word, perhaps even if you grow up in the church, right? You can know all the doctrine, the theology of the Bible. You can have the intellectual knowledge in your mind, but if it doesn't move into your heart, if you don't gaze on it, if you don't behold it, if you don't measure it out to feed on it, then it will be worthless. My parents used to say, and if my dad told us to do something and we didn't do it, he would say, you know, when I spoke, it just went in one ear and out the other, right? And so Jesus saying, if it doesn't go into the heart, right, it's going to go in one ear and it's going to go out. You're going to be left with nothing. Whatever common graces we enjoy by hearing the word and being an outward member of the church will be taken away in the day of judgment. So take the word into your heart. treasure it. Feed on it. Meditate on it. As David said again in that wonderful Psalm 119, your word I've hidden in my heart. Do you take God's word in and do you hide it and plant it in there? This points to the power of God's word, the power of Jesus in you through his word. Because, you know, the word is not just a list of do's and don'ts. You know, Jesus here is not saying, okay, just take up the rule book and just do your best to follow the rules. Okay, you know, God has certainly given us commands, but his word is much more. It's the promise of Jesus working in us. Right? His word is alive. It's a living word. And so when you take that word into your heart, when you measure it out and put it in, right, then it works in you and it produces that fruit that the sower, that Jesus, is looking for. So take the word into your heart. Listen. Pay attention to it. Measure it out in greater measure. And let God produce that glorious fruit to give him praise. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, that you came into this world not to keep us into the dark, but to bring us light. And we thank you that you have given us this wonderful promise that as we behold your word, as we pay attention to it, and as we bring it into our, as we hide it in our hearts, that you will bring great fruit from that. And that you will do even more than we can think or imagine. And so we pray that you would indeed give us those ears to hear, that you would give us hearts to receive your word, grow us through it and change us, that your glory, the light of Jesus, might be seen in us. And it's in his name we pray and ask. Amen.